Welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Morning, everybody. Can you see me now? Sorry, is that a trick question? Can you see me now? Okay. No, it's just, it looks a bit gloomy over there. You guys doing all right? Excellent. Just get rid of some of these bits of tree here. There you go. Thank you. Just want to add my welcome to you if you're here for the first time. It's brilliant that you take the time out to come to a funny old theatre in a funny old college in a funny old place called Worthing. When I began to get involved with Worthing about 10 years ago now, I like names. I think names represent things. Do you know that? Worthing actually originally means place of worth or value. So if you're in Worthing, you are born in a place of worth and value, which is quite nice. The Bible's full of names, and to God, names are really important. So there's a name out in the world. It's called cancer. Have you heard of that name? And that usually strikes the fear of not God in people, but the fear of all kinds of things in people. But I just want to tell you there's another name that actually heals that name, and his name is Jesus. There's power in a name. AIDS is a name. I have the privilege of working with a lady called Sharon, who is now funded by the South African government, because without medication, she is seeing hundreds of people healed by God from AIDS. So AIDS has got a name, but the name of Jesus is a stronger name. We also have the privilege of working with people who are being trafficked. They're being stolen, they're being corrupted through immoral people, and they're being shoved into boats and brought over here, and then they're being either sold in slavery or sex slavery or some kind of physical abuse. But in that name slavery still has to submit to the name of Jesus. And tens, hundreds of people probably, certainly tens, definitely are getting set free from that curse called slavery. I know a lot of young people who are getting afflicted by the name of fashion and trending and social media-based grooming. But I know somebody else's name that is greater than that, and his name is Jesus.
Yeah, come on.
And when Jesus comes, he intervenes and breaks the power and the authority of a name. I even know people in this room that maybe have been called idiot or slow learner or el stupido. Or maybe you've been called you're just the wrong shape. But the name of Jesus is greater than any name that you have been called. Back in my day, and maybe for you, it was sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Well, actually, they do. They do harm us. We may have had a history where people have just tried to affirm you're no good, you're just too slow, you're just too stupid, you're just too tall or too thin or too fat. Well, the name of Jesus breaks into all of those names, not just with another name, but with his presence. And we kind of get where we're going a little bit today, as we were reminded earlier, we're looking about the kingdom of God coming. But we have to realize that all of us were born into a kingdom, and that called us names. Too slow, too stupid, not quite good enough. Or it implied a name. If you spend that money, you'll be successful. If you look like that, you'll be accepted. If you run fast enough, you'll be brilliant. All kinds of things within the kingdom that we were born in that tried to imply there is something there for you. But how many of you found, like I did, that when you reached that, it was never like you were told? Maybe that's just me. I have no idea. There was a sense of pressure of perform and be and all do. And if you don't do, there's implications. And if you keep not doing it, then there's consequences. And in the world that I lived in, and maybe for you as well, there was another name of something that happened in the world. It was called feeling condemned. Anybody know what that's like? Come on, put your hands up if you know what that's like. If your hand's not up, you might be just fibbing to yourself. Well, that's it. So there's a name, and it's called condemnation, which just makes you feel guilty. It makes you feel shame. It makes you feel as if there is no hope for you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And all those things have a name. And then what happens, certainly in my experience, and maybe in yours, and loads of people in the Bible, is that they certainly did something wrong. They knew they shouldn't have done it, but they didn't know how to fix it. So they hid it, or they buried it, or they ignored it, or they denied it. How many of you have been there? Like I've been there. And suddenly they began to call themselves the name of accused or guilty or even worse, victim. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This is quite an honest one. This is a real one. I haven't even got to my notes yet. Because I'm just kind of trying to respond to what God's speaking to me. And it may be that we've come in the room this morning, it says name church outside, but what is church? Church is where Jesus is at the center and he's at the edges. But he's not there just so that everybody says Jesus is great that you're here. He's there because he wants to transform our names to be like his name. Jesus is not satisfied with us just coming and having a nice time. Nice as a biscuit. You dunk it, it goes floppy, falls in, you got to get a spoon in, and you know what I'm talking about. Unless you're posh and have rich tea. But Jesus didn't come with a kingdom because he was nice. There's a lot of nice out there. It's enticing. It can be intoxicating. It can bring a feeling of euphoria. It can make us think that we're in a different world than we actually really are. There's a name for that. It's called fantasy. But Jesus didn't come because he was going to do something nice. Jesus came with the kingdom because he was about to break into the kingdom that we were born in with a kingdom which is higher, better, and greater. Jesus didn't come just so that he could pacify those people that were guilty, but to set them free. Jesus didn't come so that we'd live a life of condemnation, because the Bible says when you give your life to Jesus, not only do I take every punishment, but I break the consequences of guilt too. So we may have come this morning, I have no idea, feeling a little bit like, you know, the world's having a go at me. Or maybe I'm just feeling condemned because I mucked up and I don't know how to put it right. But Jesus says, no, I've come that you would have life. I've come with an alternative. We mentioned this a little bit last week. The first week we're talking about what is this kingdom? How does this kingdom come? Then we were looking at last week about this kingdom as an incredible offer. It's an alternate lifestyle. It's not about human rights or save the whale. There's a mythology with human rights. Without Christ, there aren't any. That's the reality. I have met, been, have the privilege of knowing a lot of people who are very passionate about rights for humans. And the upshot of it is our conversations is the only right a human has is that they're always wrong. Nobody is right, the Bible says, apart from God himself. So... You may never come back again, but at least you're going to hear the good news of Jesus. Is that Jesus came to put things right that you and I could never put right. The Bible says that Jesus became our righteousness. And there's one piece of the Bible will come up behind you if you haven't got the Bible, or you don't believe in it. I really don't mind, it's still true, whether I believe in it or you believe in it or not. And the Bible is right. So this first piece of scripture is going to come up behind me and it says this. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's some powerful names there. This word righteousness, what does that mean? It means in its simple form, but in its most significance, is that all of our lives when we were born were wrong before God. And there was nothing we could do about it. And we lived under the constancy of that name of guilty. But with another name, which said, you deserve to be guilty. And then suddenly Jesus appeared, not as nice, but as a transforming Savior, and said, you put your faith and your trust in me, and I will put right whatever was wrong, and I'll remove the consequences. Now this might shock some of you, it kind of shocked me a little bit, but then suddenly when you realize God never lies, is that there is absolutely nothing about our lives that God can accept in the state that they're in. It's just not going to go there. Otherwise, why did he come as a Savior 2,000 years ago and give his life? Because the Bible says he gave his life for those who were in wrong. But we do find that in his wonderful love, he accepts us enough to change us. How many of you want to be changed? How many of you need to be changed? Certainly your neighbour. How many of you want your neighbour? Anyway, we won't go there. Because I don't know who you came with. What I'm saying is that when this dialogue, this conversation, is that the kingdom came, Jesus came so that I would be right before God. But nothing to do with me. And nothing to do with you either. It's a gift. Then it goes on and says, and peace. Now, I know some of us, we can meditate, we can paint. We have a wonderful artist sat over here. She's brilliant, right? Brilliant artist. I'm an artist. Take every thought captive. Creative. But what I do know is this. This piece that the Bible's talking about is not a lack of noise. It's a presence of still. This peace that Jesus comes with an offer of is not a lack of noise. It's about the presence of the one who resolves. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. So this peace means more than just is really quiet. It actually means well-being with our soul, with our mind, with our emotions, and with our spirit. This wonderful kingdom of peace that can only be real because Jesus dealt with sickness, infirmity, disease and death. He did the right thing with that. And what was that? He defeated them. So when we're at peace with God, there will be great peace within our body. Dis-ease is a lack of peace. Disease, lack of. So this scripture says the kingdom, firstly, it's not about do or don't. It's not about eating or drinking. It's not about what we do or what we don't do. It's about what is did and done. Because there's no law ever written that will qualify you or me to receive this kingdom. So Jesus came to fulfill it for us. Are you excited about that? If you are, just let your face know. Come on, face. So the kingdom is not a matter of do or don't, but on did and done, but it's the did and done of Jesus. I'm so relieved. But peace and then joy. What is joy? It's more than just going around with a constant silly grin on your face. Although that does help. But joy is an inexplicable bubble of reason beyond reason. The joy of the Lord is, I just don't know why I'm so happy, and I don't care what you say, and I don't care what you do, it's not affecting it. Joy is an internal experience, not an outward consequence. This is very theological for some of you that like the Bible. Hey, I'm unpacking most of the Old Testament here for you. But Jesus came not to remind us of everything, but to provide everything. He himself went to the cross. The Bible says, even though he was without sin, without guilt, shame, he took it, which was the right thing for him to do. He took it so that I could give it to him. It says, on that moment when he, as we reminded earlier, he gave his last breath. And it wasn't just a kind of a sigh of, oh dear, my life's over. It was a tremendous resounding shout of, it is finished. And let me tell you, whether you understand that or believe that or not, that shout, that cry, that expression was everything of righteousness, everything of peace, and everything of joy in one sentence. It is finished. I've won the race. I've fulfilled everything that needed to be fulfilled so that when people put their faith and trust in me, they can receive it just as if they've done it themselves. And the peace, this tremendous sense of well-being for our soul that Jesus brings, you can't replace it. That defeats the name of worry, intimidation, anxiousness, fear. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Just receive the peace of Jesus. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. I just know that God is the God of tomorrow. 80% of disease, apparently, starts psychologically. Peace of mind is on offer. All is well with my soul is the offer. Does it mean that your life suddenly becomes quieter? In my experience, no. But it does quieten you in it. Does it mean that, I don't know, I just need to kind of think about myself in a different way? No, it just means you think about yourself less. You don't think less about yourself, you just think about yourself less. Who said very good? Mate, I hope that came up out on the, did that come out on the tape? It should do. Because nobody else has done anything, they're just looking at me like, what's he talking about? You, guys, I love you. So this righteousness is right standing, right thinking, right attitude, not just in front of God, because when we realize that we can stand clean before Jesus, before God, who has no spot or blemish, and through this kingdom, through receiving the King of the Kingdom, we can stand in front of God like many of us were experiencing in the worship time, because although it's brilliant to kind of be reminded, and maybe we didn't know, in the kind of Old Testament, in the early way that men met with God, only one person had a meeting with God every year. And even that was a bit dicey. They had a bell on and had a piece of string on them. Why? Well, the bell was to make sure they could hear it moving. And when it went all quiet, they yanked him out with a piece of rope. I mean, that's like two emergency things, right? Thank God with Jesus, he is the bell and he is the rope. But he doesn't pull us out, he pulls us in. So when Andrew reminded us, you know, from the Gospels, from the story right around what we celebrate as Easter, the significance of the temple curtain is it was 18 inches thick. Try and knit that, boy. That was to make sure God didn't escape somehow. It was. It was to make sure that nothing of God's goodness leaked. Because the thinking then was, God is awesome and he's fearful and we can't touch him, only he can. We can't go there. So they didn't go there. But then this tremendous picture, imagine this big curtain, it was wider than this gap about, really thick. And then suddenly, at the same time you could hear the sound, it is finished. You heard this rip, but it didn't rip like you and I'd rip it. It ripped from the top down. Well, who ripped that then? God himself ripped that. Certainly you didn't, I didn't. No man did. No on-duty priest did. No member of the band did. Nobody in the Connect team did. Not even Seren with the diamond did. I've only said that because you just snuck in. She thought inconspicuously, but I've changed that. No, this was God's desire. So where this name was, you can't touch God or he'll kill you, where this name was, only one person can meet with God. Jesus came to put another name in there. Put your trust in me and all of you can touch God. Put your faith in me and you can come into my presence. You may not know what that's like. You may just have experienced church. We don't want to experience church. We want to experience God. Man, you can go to church any way you like. Maybe some of you have. Maybe some of you are just checking out church. We'll never check God out. Don't go around saying, now, well, I'm going to find a church I like. No, no, find a God that loves you. Like comes and goes. It's called preference. Ouch. Trying to be real, okay? Because the kingdom is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that is the kingdom of God. That is how God wants you and I to live. That is how he wants us to be as church, right before God and definitely right before one another. So what does that mean in practice? Well, in practice, in terms of knowing that we stood right before God, the Bible's really clear. The only way that we can know that we're right before God is know we're wrong before God first. Book of Romans puts it this way. All have sinned. Say all. That means everybody in the room. All have. What does sin mean? We haven't done the best that God's had to offer us. I'm not going to go into theology about sin, but that's what it means. Usually because it's got I in the middle of it. I'll tell you that, you remember it. Sin has got about I in the middle of it. S-I-N. So we've done our thing and it's not been God's thing. Sin really literally means more like you're aiming at the bullseye but you keep getting the outer edge. It's close but you don't get a banana. Sin is a bullseye. So Jesus provides access for you and for me to align our lives in the bullseye. Secondly, this is more the horizontal, be quick to forgive. Let's just look at another piece of scripture here. John 20, verse 21 to 23. Again, you may be familiar with the book of John, I have no idea. But Jesus said this to his closest followers at that time, peace be with you. He wasn't just saying, Andrew, come on, just borrow a minute. He wasn't just saying, you know, in the liturgy, now let's offer one another a sign of peace. Yeah, peace. You know, I love you. Brilliant. That bloke's such an idiot. Why do I have to have him next to... It's not that. We all laugh, but how many of us do that? So we're doing the do's or don't of the liturgy, but the kingdom isn't about do or don't. In my humble opinion, we shouldn't have to keep saying that because we should be living it all the time. Now, it's good to say it because we need to remind ourselves of it, but it's like sometimes you can go into places and they say, let's share the peace with each other. I get that. But you can see the tension between something. It's like he just wants to rip his head off. He's only saying it. Come on, we'll be real here, right? Well, Jesus wants to do it right. And right means, man, if I've upset you, I'm really sorry, forgive me. I'm not waiting to be right. Because nobody's right. Thanks, mate. Nobody's right. So, have you got that? Some of the reasons why, if you're a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus, you have received this kingdom. Doesn't mean we're living in it, though. We're living in it when we apply the kingdom principle. Kingdom principle is, God, cleanse me and give me a pure heart today. I've mucked up, I've made a mistake, but I thank you that you are eternally, eternally forgiving. Amen. But you're not going to just forgive me because I feel bad, you're going to forgive me because I say, I'm sorry, Jesus. And immediately, not only does Jesus remove it, he forgets it. Come on, let's be honest again. How many of us love to forgive someone but also remember it? Yeah, come on. We're all like that, aren't we? Yeah, Jesus isn't. And he does it right. Bible puts it this way. When you've confessed your sins to me, not only do I forgive, but I forget. As far as the east is from the west. Now, I'm not a geographical person, but the east and the west never meet. Is that what you said? Andy, you were on it like a rash, I tell you. So in this piece of the Bible, Jesus appears after he's gone to the cross and he's provided access. It's been taught, access is there. Not through a do or a don't, but through a sacrificial life. Jesus fulfilled the law, not by fulfilling every jot and tittle, but by giving his life according to it. He fulfilled the law. That's why when, again, if you know the story, great. If you don't, fine. Jesus... I think it's a song. Oh, I'll be back. When she comes back, we'll get her to do a solo. It was a custom in the Roman times when Jesus was crucified, this is a bit of history for you, is that because the Romans had had a long day and they didn't want to stay there all night, is in the way that people were crucified, which is may not, we don't want to go into detail that because it's not very nice, is that they would break the legs of the person being crucified just to make sure they were dead. But with Jesus, they didn't. If they had have done, he would not have been accepted as an offering to God. So Jesus fulfilled every rule, regulation of the law sacrificially. And when he appeared to his disciples and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this, I have a mixed view. It's like, God, are you kidding? Because I'm beginning to understand a little bit more about how you came. You came not to be served, but to serve. You came not to be at the center, but to change the center. You came not to just say, the law is this, the law is that, but to fulfill it in such a way that you fulfilled it for me. So the way Jesus came was different than I think sometimes. Jesus didn't come to start a revolution. He came to start a movement. But he says, in the same way that I'm sent, I'm sending you and you and you. You guys that have just come today, he's sending you in the same way. What is that way? To be utterly faithful to the one who sent you. To allow God's life, his spirit, to be our leader. Now, I know Christians. I've been around Christians hundreds of years. And there's a name out in Christendom called control. Well, the Bible challenges that in Romans. It says you can only be a son of God when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't like to be controlled. Well, you can't follow Jesus then. Because what I've found is where in my soul, and so probably for you, where I don't have control, when I'm living more for Jesus, I get the control back. So the stuff that I used to do, because I couldn't make the right choices, I don't do that now. The things that distracted me, and I thought, well, that's all right. Actually, they weren't all right, but I couldn't do anything about them. So all this conversation I was having was about this name control. And I was thinking, maybe like you, well, you know, I want to keep control of my life. And Jesus says, no, you've got to lose it. But I don't want to lose it. He said, well, you can't live with me then. And suddenly a penny dropped. Boing! But it's much better to be dead and live fully in Jesus than to only live a half life. That was my view. So when I read this where Jesus says, peace be with you, it's not just coming in the room saying, they are quiet down, boys. I know you're excited. You know, I'm back. Woohoo. But there was something released out of him into our lives. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them, which can signify all kinds of things. But in this context, it was receive the life, receive this kingdom life. And it will help you forgive the people you don't want to forgive. Come on. It'll help you and me forgive the people we just don't want to. Because we think we're right. Well, we're not. Only God's right. Well, I'll wait until, you know, they come to my way of thinking. Nil point. Well, of course I'm right. But, you know, because, you know, I'm here, I'll wait until... No, none of us are right apart from Jesus. And we find that when we're supposed to be living in this state of well-being and peace, something just disturbs us and unsettles us. It usually starts up there. And all the time, Jesus has said, no, peace I leave with you. But what's one of the keys? If you forgive anyone, say anyone. If you forgive anyone, their sins are forgiven. Now, this theologically, this is interesting. Because he didn't say, I forgive all the sins. He said, no, you forgive them and they're forgiven. That's what it says, isn't it? Come on, if I'm making it up, come and see me afterwards. All right? I'm just reading the Bible. So Jesus, who is the forgiver of all sins, the sacrifice for all sins, says to his followers, if you forgive sins, they're forgiven too. That's trust, isn't it? That's what you call empowerment. Of course, the opposite also applies. If we don't, we don't. And can I just suggest that sometimes, we end up sick because we've not forgiven. There might be an ouch there. Sometimes we're sick because the enemy just wants to take us out. Sometimes we're sick because we just have moved from that place of knowing the peace, the presence, the well-being of Jesus. Something has just come in. Maybe accidentally, maybe deliberately. I have no idea because I'm not the judge. Jesus is. All I know is that peace means well-being of our soul, our body, our mind, our will and our emotion. And I also happen to understand personally, having been ill for years, is that when you're ill, it's not always a joyful thing. Would that be fair to say? But the kind of joy that this is talking about has got nothing to do with your physicality. It's about our position before Jesus. Some of the most encouraging people that I know are people that on first glimpse, which is never a smart thing to make a decision, is they're dealing with stuff. Maybe physical stuff or just history stuff or stuff. But you talk to them, and man, you feel encouraged, you feel of joy, you just feel so supported. Do you know what I'm talking about? You don't. Okay. People who on the face of it, they just haven't got it all together yet. But when you listen to them, man, they're confident. There's a well-being going on within them. There's a joy going on in them. That's got nothing to do with the do or don't. It's about the presence of Jesus. This morning, I said at the prayer, well, at the end of the prayer meeting, we're going to do two things in a moment. We are not going to pray for the sick. We're going to heal them. The Bible doesn't say anywhere about go and pray for the sick. It says go and heal the sick. So we're not going to be praying for sick people. So if you want to go and pray for the sick, then you can go outside and do that. But in here, we're going to heal the sick. Thanks, mate. Two of us agree. That's it. But in order to do that, we want to present ourselves like the disciples did a couple of thousand years ago up in a room somewhere. So the higher up you are, probably the more holy you are, right? Well, mostly. Probably. Yeah. We won't mention it, will we? No. So, it's okay, little joke. So, the point is this. That upper room was simply the place that Jesus said to go to and they went to. I hope that for all of you that are here this morning, you've done the same. You might be coming to check us out. You might be coming because you've heard stuff. I'm really not interested. You might be coming because you just hate the place you're in. I have no idea. I have no idea. That's not my place. All I know is that we're not here by mistake this morning. All right, put it that way. I also know that the Bible says where two or three are met in his name, he's in the middle. So I know it's not just us in the room, but Jesus is in the room. So in a moment, it's going to be a little bit like that Last Supper again. But let me just suggest this. It's the Last Supper for your sickness. It's the Last Supper for your pain. It's the Last Supper for your worry. It's the Last Supper for your fear. It's the Last Supper for your rejection. Because they've all got names. But the name of this is breakthrough. The name of this is freedom. The name of this is healing. The name of this is forgiveness. The name of this is very different. So this is the Last Supper for those things. Fears, anxieties, kind of what was in my heart a little bit. But physical stuff, just pains. This is the Last Supper for pain. Do you understand? Is this making some sense to anybody? So when we break bread in a moment, Jesus says this, when you break bread, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. But the me is the name above every other name. The me is the name who provided health for sickness, took our infirmities, the Bible says. By his wounds we are. So that's the name out of which we're going to receive this morning. It's more than just bread or wine. Now, I'm not into transubstantiation, which is a really posh word just to show off to Colin. We're not into that. Right? But we are into... We've got a good arrangement, you and me. I make these things and he just looks at me like, just get on with it. It's like another wife, it's amazing. But she's much cuter. Oh, come on. There's a joke there. But a dyslexic man who believed in dog. You didn't get that one. So this is the Last Supper for these things. So let's all stand up, shall we? And Andrew's going to lead us through this next bit. But as we kind of move into not just receiving bread and wine, let's take some time before we do that. If we need to, bless you. It's cold here, isn't it? Sorry, mate. It's been in Iraq. Sand up his nose. Let's just take a few moments, if we need to. And Andrew can lead this bit through. I don't know what he's going to do. But it's really important that we just reaffirm where we are. It doesn't matter where we are, but it's important to realize, where are we today? How far away from my life right now is God? But don't let your feelings be your buffer. Because the Bible says, wherever it is that you start from, you can draw closer.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.